The word today is saints. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. When a person puts their faith in Jesus Christ, their sins are forgiven. They go from being a worldly person to being a holy one or a saint. This doesn't mean that Christians are perfect, but God will not hold their sin against them. It's wonderful to know that we can be holy in God's eyes because of Jesus' work on our behalf. We all need that. Here with more on what it means to be holy is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Saints.
There is a really beautiful word in the New Testament called saint. And we're going to think about what the implication of being called a saint or a holy one in the name of Jesus. This is an amazing privilege. It's also an amazing experience to consider that through the Holy Spirit, we are actually called holy ones or saints. So let's start by looking at the book of Ephesians. In chapter 1, this is written by Paul, and he starts out by saying, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. Yeah, because Jesus knocked him on his butt in Acts chapter 9 and confronted him on the road to Damascus. So the saints, it says, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a pretty standard opening for Paul. And then he goes on, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, in according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. This is a very majestic passage. It's talking about fantastic things that God is getting accomplished through our Lord and Savior Jesus that extend from the heavenly realm right down into the earthly realm, and talking about elevating us and taking us from a sin-infested existence into God's own presence and glory and giving us the same kind of experience that Jesus has in the presence of the Father. That's pretty awesome stuff. And we are called holy ones. This is the wonderful, majestic change that God is working within us. And I hope that if you're listening to our program today in whatever culture, whatever situation you're in, I hope that you will be really intrigued by the message of how you can become a saint, how you can become a holy one in Jesus. And let's start with the fact that you are not perfect, and you don't have to become perfect before you become a holy one or a saint. All it takes is trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you might say, is that it? What do you mean? That's all there is to it? Is that I just have to believe on Jesus and I become a holy one? The answer is, yeah, it's that simple. You see, the holiness is extended to you as a gift from God. It's not something generated from within. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And so this is the gift of salvation, the privilege that God gives to people that put their trust and their hope in the Lord Jesus. One of the things that is very evident here is that you don't have to be dead to be a saint. There's a great misconception around the world, and it's reinforced by certain Christians that once you die, then there's a process by which you can become a saint, and you have to have a miracle or two to your name and things like this. And this is really confusing. What it's doing is it's creating kind of a two-tier system, that there's certain individuals that have like hyper-spirituality, and they are in a kind of different echelon from the run-of-the-mill believer. Oh, man, that's not helpful. It's also not accurate to the New Testament. Look at how Paul addresses this humble church in a town of Ephesus. It's a very simple thing. He identifies himself as an apostle, which is an amazing thought, considering that he was initially persecuting Christians, but he was called by God to become this spokesperson for Christ, to become an eyewitness of the resurrected Lord Jesus. And as the authority of an apostle, he addresses these Christians. And to the whole group, he says, to the saints in Ephesus. That's how he begins his letter. I always have some fun with this, because anyone who has accepted, received the Lord Jesus Christ, anyone who's baptized into Christ and is a Christian, is a saint. It's that simple. The word saint, holy one, is synonymous with Christian. They're interchangeable. In the same way that the word Christian and born again, the phrase, is interchangeable. The saint, the holy one, is by virtue of faith in Christ as a gift of the forgiveness of sins through Jesus. So once in a while, I like going up to a member of the church and calling them by their name. And, you know, let's say the person's name is Tom. And I would go, "Saint Tom, how are you doing today?" Well, the person is like, "Well, I don't know if I'm a saint." Well, absolutely, you're a saint. Anyone who has faith in Jesus Christ has been granted that status. And it's a wonderful gift from God. It should also kind of remind us to act like a holy person. You know, it's important that we take on the role, the responsibility of being identified as a Christian and having our life reflect the glory of Jesus. That means that we will have to combat sin. That means we'll have to watch our tongue and what we say, and be very cautious about where we go, what things we will do, because we are to be holy. We're supposed to represent the righteousness of Jesus Christ. There is this constant struggle, though, isn't there, to maintain that holiness and that righteousness. Martin Luther, who started off as a Roman priest and eventually was forced out of that church denomination, he started what was known as the Protestant Reformation. And he had a saying, "Simul justus et peccator." Now, that was Latin, and I know in many of the languages in which the word today is broadcast, we don't often use these phrases from other languages because they're confusing or they're difficult to know, but it sounds like this, simul justus et peccator, and that was the phrase, same time, saint and sinner. In other words, we're not perfected yet. We are tainted by sin. You know that you have a daily struggle with your temptations that arise in your mind, with the lusts of the flesh. You know that our eyes and ears can lead us into sin. You know that the world is offering numerous opportunities to do something unholy. And yet, if you've come to Jesus Christ, you can find forgiveness. He will receive sinners. He doesn't condemn harshly and threaten you to hell even though you want forgiveness. No, he'll receive you if you repent of your sin and want to come to him for salvation, he will welcome you. All you have to do is look in the New Testament and see the various people, tax collectors and prostitutes and people that had very, very sinful lives, and he welcomed them, called them to change, to become born again, and forgave them their sins. That should give you a great deal of hope. If you feel that you are beyond hope, don't ever believe it. In Jesus Christ, all people can be saved and forgiven. And you can even be called a holy one. Then the battle begins. Then the war with the sinful lusts and the temptations begin. And that's why we're at the same time a saint and a sinner. And in Romans chapter 7, Paul himself discussed that struggle. And he said, "What a wretched man I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death?" And then in Romans chapter 8, he says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ, because the principle of life has set me free from the principle of sin and death." It's so fantastic to be a saint. And it's just a marvelous thing to have that gift. We're in the process of being saved. You know, there's various processes that are used around the world for purification. There's one called homogenization that's used with milk to purify it and with various drinks. Then there's sterilization with the heat to get rid of germs. Well, you know, sanctification is God's process of making us fit, in a sense of kind of driving this sin out of us so that we eventually, through death and resurrection in Jesus' name, are made perfect, made prepared for eternal life. So I hope you will enjoy the term saint, and I hope it's encouraging to you. Yeah, we're still sinners, but by the goodness of God and the free gift that came through Jesus Christ, the merits of Jesus' righteousness can be applied to you, and you can become a holy person in Jesus. I hope that you will love that phrase and live up to that title. I hope that you will share this good news so that others can gain encouragement too by being saints of God, holy ones.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org. to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.